We now present Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith.
I want to call your attention to the 10th verse of the 111th Psalm, and I want you to listen carefully because it's a most wonderful verse. And I want to try to make it simple and clear and practical. Now, notice what the Lord says in this verse. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. Now let's read it again. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now we read this same expression in other places in the Bible. We find it in the book of Proverbs. Now the fear of the Lord here, we want to understand what it means. It means that it's a chief part of knowledge. The main part of knowledge is to fear God. Now, a man who hasn't that much sense hasn't any sense to speak of at all. The fear of God. What does he mean by fear? Now, he doesn't mean that you have a hysterical kind of fear. But there's nothing wrong sometimes in what people talk about getting scared. You know, say, well, nobody scared me to God. Sounds so smart, sounds so wise. Well, you try to scare your children. You tell your little boy, you better not go across that street in an automobile run over and kill you. And you just get your little child where he's not afraid of an automobile and he'll let one run over it. You know, people are not as smart as they think they are. They just talk wisely. I don't think there's anything wrong with even ordinary, normal sense of fear. A man that has a good sense and is normal, he fears disgrace and dishonor. He fears that he might make a failure, and he knows he would without God's help. But this word fear here doesn't mean that you're afraid to cross the street when there are automobiles there. It's not that kind of fear. It's a different sort of word. It means a reverential sense. It means that I reverence God in such a way. I look up to him with a sense of awe and my responsibility, and I want to obey him and do what he says do. It's like a child when his father speaks to him. He reverences his father and obeys his father. Now, that's what it means here. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's when we just begin to learn. If we don't have that fear of God, that reverence for God, then there's something wrong with our knowledge of what to do. Now, I want you to notice the next word. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. Now, this says simply and very clearly, the man has a good understanding if he lives right. No man can have a good understanding that doesn't live right. If a man trusts God, fears God, reverences God, and goes out to do what God says do, as he will do if he fears God, then he has good judgment. He knows what to do. You know, these wise men, these big fellows, you know, that think they're so smart. The big boys in the world have certainly got us in a mess, haven't they? Well, they thought they were smart. We say, he's a big man. You know, I read in the Bible, go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for the miseries that have come upon you. You've heaped treasures together for the last days. And some Bible scholars say you could say in the last days. Those are the big men, the great men, the men that made their millions. Did you read in the paper a story of how many billionaires we have in this country? How many firms? I think, if I remember correctly, it's over 50 billionaires. Well, now, they sound like big men. Now, if I wanted to talk to an automobile man, a multimillionaire, about steel, I'd say, what's the price of steel here? What do you think of the situation? You know, they send out letters from certain people. We get those letters about the drift in business, what's going on, the tendency. Well, they can tell you about certain drifts. They can figure whether steel will probably go up or go down. But, you know, when it comes to the long-range view of things and the permanent setup of things and how things are coming out, the biggest men in the world, sometimes the biggest fools. I was over in Germany, you know, when Hitler came into power. Everybody thought, that's wonderful, we're going to follow Hitler. Well, look what they did. They followed him to ruin. They followed the Kaiser before World War I when he talked about me and God, you know, me and God, see. And there they were, deifying a man. And the German people are very intelligent people. They had great universities. In fact, most of our modernism in the religious life of America, we got out of Germany. for World War I. It was known around the world as a modernistic country in its drift towards religion, in spite of Martin Luther and all the influence that he and his followers had there through the years gone by. And yet look at Germany. Look at ancient Rome. Look at ancient Greece. With all that culture, what happened to them? They went to ruin. What's the matter with them? Well, the great men of that day didn't have understanding, that's all, because they were not good men. They weren't godly men. Look at the perversity and degeneracy and terrible conditions that prevail. Now look at America. What's the matter with America? The trouble in America is that we've got men in high places that are not good men. They are not good men. No man can make a political deal with the underworld and be a good man. No man can take the money that the people put up for taxes and use that money selfishly to keep himself in power and be a good man. Now, there are good men in office. There are good men in the United States Senate. There are good men in Washington. There are good men in this government. We've got men in this country and in the other lands of the world who are considered big men, some of them. Of course, you've got a lot of fellows here about nose level, but they consider them big men. And look what a jam they've got things in. Here they are, the men are divided about what to do and what should be done, how we should do it. And there you are. And you don't know exactly which way to turn and what to do. What's the matter with the world? Well, the trouble with men is they don't know what to do because they don't know God Almighty. They do not have the reverence for God. They do not have that wholesome sense of fear that looks up and says, God, tell us what to do. If this nation would repent from the president on down in Washington, if the king on his throne in England, and there's a lot in England that they ought to be ashamed of, although I'm rather pro-British, there's a great deal over there they ought to be ashamed of. If they get on their knees and humble themselves before God and tell God of their sins, and if the religious leaders of the world, both Protestants and Catholics, I'm talking about all of us, now Jews and everybody else put in, all of us, you can't say I'm attacking anybody. If they get out on their knees and humble themselves before God, and tell God we're not right, we need wisdom from above, we might get some light on what to do. But that's not what they do. That's not what they do. The trouble with most of the religions of the world, they've got blood on their hands. You go into countries where religion dominates and find superstition, persecution, terrible conditions. I'll never forget the first time I was in Mexico. And I'll never forget what I found in Spain and other countries of the world. And I'll never forget some things I've seen in England and things I've seen in America. You know, we can't throw mud at each other very much without, because we've got so much on ourselves, all of us. And all of our countries of the world, here we are in a mess, all of us. And nobody seems to know what to do. And they can't agree about what to do. And there you are. Now, what's the matter? Even this League of Nations, or World Federation they're talking about, all these nations, they can't decide what to do. They can't even agree among themselves. What's the matter? Well, they don't know what to do because they don't know God, that's all. Now, the psalmist says here, very definitely, if people keep God's commandments, they'd have understanding. They'd know what to do. Now, I'd rather trust the instinct and intuition and impulses of a sane, sensible, consecrated Christian that walks humbly before his God, even if he's a little man in the estimation of the world. I'd rather trust him than to trust the biggest man in the world when the hour of crisis comes. Now, men and women, there is nothing that man can do to deliver this world because he hasn't got enough brain, he hasn't got enough sense, he hasn't got enough understanding. And you can't get them together. They get together and separate. The trouble is they're divided. And they're divided because they're not in contact with the one that holds together. That one's God. Now, people come to me all the time and here in school and say, Dr. Bob, what would you do about so-and-so? Well, I say, now, let's see. Let's talk it over. What's the right thing to do? What would God have you do? Let's see if we can set it that way. Whenever a person gets where he's willing to let God direct him and let God control him, that person has no trouble finding out what to do. He doesn't have to worry about anything. The thing solves itself. If you are yielded to God, faithful to God, somehow or other, when the time comes, he'll tell you what to do, or he'll lead you what to do, or he'll create a condition and a circumstance that'll solve your problem for you. Now, that's what the psalmist says. The psalmist says the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. That's where we're ready now to start in. We have the chief part of knowledge. We know the biggest thing in the world. We know the main thing. We know that we don't know. That's the best thing for a man to learn. The best thing you can learn is to know that you don't know what to do. And you got to have God help you. That's the first lesson you have to learn. Now, if we could just get these people that are so cocky, standing up and telling us all this wise talk stuff, thing getting the worst mess all the time, they're talking. I get so sick of them. If they just say, men and women, we don't know what to do. Let's get on our knees and ask God Almighty. Let's all pray. We're in a fix and we don't really know the way out. But in order to stay in, you know, they've got to claim to know the way, see. There has never been, in the history of the world, there have never been as many mistakes made, internationally and nationally, as have been made in this country and in the world for the last 25 years. There never have been such mistakes made. You can just count them over and over and over and over. Great politicians, great people that folks trusted. They sat down around table and listened to them. And they gave Russia this and somebody else that and somebody else that. Why do they do that? Well, believe in your fellow man. Well, that isn't scripture. That's not what the Bible says. Believe in God. You can't find the Bible that God ever told you to believe in your fellow man. That's not in the Bible. Now, of course, a man that's right is inclined to trust people. I understand that. But you've got a definite understanding in the Bible, clearly stated, that there's nobody can help us but God. Why don't you believe that? Believe in God. That's the standard. Ask God to help us. Tell God you don't know what to do. And you don't. You just well tell him. You've got a problem with your child. You don't know what to do. You got a problem in your home. You don't know what to do. You have problems in business. You don't know what to do. We have them out here at Bob Jones University every day. And we bow our heads together and tell God we don't know. You don't know, but you know, men and women, if you have the fear of God, reverence for God, obey God, trust God, surrender to God, then everything somehow or other, when the crisis comes, the time comes you need wisdom, and you want to know what to do, somehow or other God leads you. Blessed is a man whose faith is fixed, who's yielded to Almighty God, who's trusting him, unreservedly and unconditionally. God help us to do it. Our Father, in the midst of the bloody crisis of our age, we look up to thee out here at Bob Jones University and tell you we don't know what to do. All we know to do is to trust you. You hold not only the future in your hands, but you hold us in your hands. We are thy children. So help all of us today to be yielded and dedicated and consecrated and surrendered to God. Keep us ever faithful and true to him. May we never waver. May we keep looking up and trusting. And you said if we do that, we would have understanding. Hear us in the prayer and keep us faithful for Jesus' sake. Amen.
You have just heard Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith. This program is sponsored by Bob Jones University.